From elementary school in Vacaville, California, we had a game that we played almost every recess, and that was kickball basketball. Do y'all know kickball basketball? Do y'all know kickball? Okay, you got kickball. So this kid, the way that they tried to help people not get too injured is you would kick the ball, and then the ball would be passed to people at a basketball court. As you are running the bases, they have to make two baskets. And if they make two baskets before you get all the way, this is elementary school. Have you seen elementary school students shoot baskets? It's hilarious. It hits the rim, it goes really far. So it was very cool because you could normally make it around unless you had some people that were doing well in the basketball area. And like most childhoods that are filled with trauma, the way that we created these games was always schoolyard pick. Who remembers schoolyard picks fondly? So it's okay if you did. There's nothing wrong with it. I remember, it's so funny, the images in my brain, when we would all get lined up, almost always the two captains were always who? The two best people. So there would be Alex and Pat. These two were the best. Alex could kick the ball so far it would take them the time to get it even back into the basketball court, and he was one of the fastest people around, and he would round the bases super fast. Pat, on the other hand, couldn't kick as far, but he could kick erratically because he always used his toe. And if you know, when you're kicking a ball, if you use your toe, it could go any number of directions. And Pat could launch it, and it was one that he always did line drives. And so it was something that if you caught the ball in the air, it was an out. So that was one of the things that changed. With Alex, everyone just always went to the back end and hopefully caught the ball. With Pat, no one ever caught the ball because everyone was so scared of it. It would be a line drive at your face, and so you would, as a child, instinctively duck, get out of the way, whatever. And if you tried to catch it, it normally whacked you, went down, you went to the nurse's office, and Pat laughed as he's running the bases. So these were the ones that were picked. And then the choosing starts. Now, this is the hard part, because for some people, they're pretty good. And so they would kind of stand proud and tall, and we all knew who was going to be picked. I mean, it was no secret who was good and who was not good. And it was funny. I don't know where you're at. I'll tell you where I was at. I was right near the middle. Baskets relatively accurately by banking it off the side. So I was near the beginning. Somewhere in the middle, they would be like, we want Mark because they know if they get it to me, I'll get it in. Bob's near the end. And then it always hurt because usually it was like, well, kind of happy. Most importantly, you were not last, right? If you could at least not, because what was the dreaded thing? As ever, looking down, knowing full well that you were probably going to be last. It's a terrible feeling. I asked you because those that were picked last, what would they eventually do? They would stop participating. They wouldn't even show up to the schoolyard pick. They want to be an important part of what's happening, and so I might as well just simply remove myself so that I don't feel the embarrassment. And why would you do that? Because fast enough? I was not fast in elementary school. So I could kick the ball. I could do okay, but I could never really round the bases fast enough. They'd always get it. They were like, well, I can't even kick that hard, and so I'm probably going to get out anyway. And those that felt, I don't know, disadvantaged, they felt unimportant. Do you still have trauma from kickball basketball? Maybe it wasn't that sport, but maybe it was something else. Maybe the ball, the cheer team, and the list comes out, and your name is all the way at the bottom. Not because you're, or maybe X, Y, or Z. You got that audition list. You finally auditioned for a play, and you go, and you realize, I didn't even make that. Those types of things continue with us. Do you feel that way about God? I know this has to go through our brain. I know it goes through mine. Do you think that God is up there and God is going to put together an amazing team for his purposes, right? And immediately all the pastors start strutting around like, oh, he's... Stand up proudly. And those of you that maybe have portions of Scripture memorized, you stand up proudly. And then there's people that have this incredible faith and this trust in God. And so there's some people that will be like, yeah, if God was putting together a team, I think I'd be on it. But then there's really the majority of us are probably thinking something different. God can't choose me. I'm divorced. Faith much later, and what I did during my teenage years were terrible. God, and I hated church, and I hated Christians, and I'm still trying to figure out, end up pulling themselves from the game prior to Micah, how God chooses people. God, who were called out of Egypt, who then wandered through the wilderness, but ultimately started falling away from God. And as they fell away from God, a northern kingdom was destroyed. An army under Sennacherib is surrounding Jerusalem. And everyone's thinking to themselves, we're in trouble. And God's saying, you're in trouble. And it's going to hurt you because a lot of people are like, we're the best. We're the best people. Like, take us. If you would have asked for a schoolyard pick, all the Israelites would say, yep, we're the ones loved. God loves us. Termites, the out of sight. He hates those people. Loves us. We're so beloved. Your life is not actually being demonstrated in following. Out of curiosity, anyone here like to be broken? Does anyone like pain and miserable things? No one does that. And so it hurts us when bad things happen to us. Sometimes those things are done to us. Others hurt us and we're broken. And we often wonder what question. Micah chapter 4, answer. Micah chapter 4, verse 1. In the last days, there might be some eschatological and some people back into the land. So you could take some stuff that there's some end times, but new kingdom. And that new kingdom is going to have a new leader. And that new leader is Jesus Christ. The mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as, and people will stream to it. Now, again, you hear words like this and you're thinking to yourself, oh, that must mean like, let's see it and go to it, and maybe there's some fulfillment that we're waiting for. It is, Jesus said this. He was quoting back from the wandering through the nation, a man shall be lifted up and all men will be drawn to him. And everyone's like, ooh, Jesus exalted up so that people can see him? And everyone's like, oh, maybe he floats. But then God says, no, actually, Jesus is going to get broken. And Jesus himself says, in this, and in his pain, he draws all people to himself. That's the promise. Through a broken lens. His goal is not witnesses who have all of their stuff together. He says, the healthy people and the hurting, but I've come for the sick. And then verse 2, many nations will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord so that we may walk in his paths. The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord far and wide. And then it'll be marked by a certain thing. And again, when we get saying, was it true that Jesus was lifted up for all to see? The answer is yes, but in a way that we could have not even thought or imagined. Their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train. As we look at it, it doesn't seem like it, right? Last time I checked, the Senate is still perfectly divided. As I watch the news, there are still killings, right? There's still people shooting one another. As I look at the world, I go, what does this mean? And I think probably for you and I, and this is what's so important, is it breaks down the wall. God is saying, right, and he said, Paul even says that now there is no longer a Jew or a Greek, a slave or a free, a male or a female. We now are reconciled one at another. Even though we may still have conflicts and difficulty, we're still united because of who Jesus Christ is. And let me tell you, that's exciting. That means there are people in Russia currently who are worshiping their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and you and I, who often end up doing tragedies and travesties here on this earth, but then through faith and through repentance of sins, they are then reconciled to God, and we are now friends with them because of Jesus Christ. We have former murderers, rapists, thieves, mass shooters, war criminals, many of them now believe in Jesus Christ, and you and I are at peace with them. It may not be the peace we buy him, that God bring peace to this world, bring peace to our nation, but I am so thankful for this. I am at peace with you. Even if you and I disagree on stuff, and I love you, and I can't wait to be in heaven with you forever, and for God to show you that you were wrong and I was right. I was just seeing if you were listening. You guys seem so... You were listening. Thank you. No. I'm sure God is going to sit me down for a very, I don't know, a few thousand years and say, okay, Mark, we got to talk. You said this. That's wrong. I'm like, I'm sorry. You said this. That was, I'm sorry. I've tried my best. He goes, I love you. Give me a hug. Now go talk to those people. I am excited for the peace that we have. I look forward to peace with nations. I believe if we want peace on this world, I believe it'll only happen through one way and one way only, Jesus Christ. That is the only way. And it can't be through coercion. Sorry, crusades were wrong. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? No. We will torture you until you say you do. And then once you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, we will instantly kill you so you can't recant. Isn't that a great evangelism program? I think that's fantastic. I think we should start that here in this world. No, that's a terrible evangelism program. People are like, wait a second. If I say I don't believe I'm tortured, but if I say I believe that I'm killed, I don't like either of my options. Is there a third pathway? Yeah, it's not through coercion. There is only one way that Jesus has laid out: love, self-sacrifice, humility. Micah's going to lay it down super clear in chapter 6. Love justice, be merciful, and walk humbly with God. That's why, again, Micah, whose name means who is like God, we are amazed at who God is. This is incredible. God is a God who chooses broken people. No one else does that. Who else does that? I think it's a T-Mobile thing. There's these kids, and they're out on the basketball court, right? And you're supposed to make this easy decision, and Charles Barkley is there, right? And he's kind of standing there like, oh, are they going to choose? And the guy and the little kid's like, yeah, I'll take Barkley. And he's like, woo, yeah, I still got it. And he looks at the kids. He's like, yeah. Well, yeah, that's the easy. What would have happened if the kid was like, no, I don't want the strong, tall, 6'8" dude that can dunk on us as kids? I'll take the smallest kid in the crowd. That would be the dumbest choice. That is exactly what God does. God is not interested in you having all your stuff together. What he wants you to do is come with all your brokenness, your pain, your hurt, your misery, every one of your failures. And God's going to look over And he's going to find you, and he says, I want you broken. And God says, that's who I want. Verse 4, great passage about learning and growth. I still am honored that you guys come to church, because if you wanted to learn about Micah chapter 4, have other people preached on Micah chapter 4? Yeah. How many commentaries are online on Micah chapter 4? Tons. Why are you here? You could totally learn without it. And that's one of these amazing things. Every man will sit under his own vine and under his own fig tree, and no one will make them afraid. For the Lord God Almighty has spoken. All the nations may walk in the name of their gods. We will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever. The learning and the growth that you can have can be so completely individualistic. But again, isn't that one of the problems? We've lost community, because people are annoying and we don't want to be around them, especially the broken ones. If you want to clear a room really fast, actually tell people what's going on in your life. Tell them your pain and misery. Tell them all the mistakes you've made. Tell them you're battling cancer. Tell them you're struggling with bad thoughts. Tell them your addictions and your failures, and watch them go, I don't think I want to be around this person anymore, right? That's what we need. Where do we go when we're broken? Sadly, we become isolated and we stop talking. God wants us to be a part of that. And this is where, again, this promise becomes so incredible. In that day, declares the Lord, I will gather the strong. Oh, shoot. I will gather the lame. Wait, there's God again. Who am I going to gather up again? I need to get the strong people. I need to get the confident people. Those are the people who I need to use. This is the problem whenever we go through the Old Testament. We think that God chooses these incredible people, right? People like Esther, a pagan king in a one-night sex stand in order to beat out hundreds of other women so that she could be queen in all the land, and she hid her Jewish faith in order to get there. Does she sound like she has all her stuff together? No, she's a mess. King David, a man after God's own heart. He knows how to play the harp. He sings. He's got passion. He's empathetic, but he's also strong and a warrior. Yeah, he also is a murderer and an adulterer. Go through the list. Paul talks about himself. Paul must be amazing. No, Paul killed little children. Paul murdered Christians. And he murdered them because they were just Christian. And God says, I'm going to use you because you're broken. Esther, I choose you. You're going to accomplish my plan. David, I'm going to choose you. And then incredibly to watch Jesus Christ. Arguably the strongest dude I know. I don't know if he's like ripped in all the images I see. Like he's always got a six pack, you know, and Jesus is amazing looking. But he was broken. And he didn't stand up and float for everyone to see so that people are drawn to him. Instead, he was broken. His body was broken and his blood was shed for you and for me. Joshua, do you have a comment or a question?
Jesus might do CrossFit.
Oh, my gosh, that's terrible. Whose son is he? Oh, shoot. All right, thank you, Joshua. We greatly appreciate that. He is going to gather the lame. I will assemble the exiles and those I have brought to grief. I will make the lame a remnant, those driven away a strong nation. The Lord will rule over them in Mount Zion from that day and forever.
As for you, O watchtower of the flock, O stronghold of the daughter of Zion, the former dominion will be restored to you. Kingship will come to the daughter of Jerusalem. Because at that time, they lost their king. Their kings were ultimately deposed. There were puppet kings that were put into place. And the people were crying out, just as they did in the days of King Saul. We want a king. We want a king. Everyone else has a king. Why can't I have a king? And so God gave them Saul, and it was bad, and it was terrible. And then ultimately, they started focusing so much on their king. They started worshiping their king. Their king could get them out of all the problems in the world. The king will solve all their financial issues. The king will have all of the justice. And they started worshiping and focusing on the king so much, they lost sight of the one true king, God himself. And that's the reason why Jesus came. My friends, you and I do not have a king. Aren't you excited about that? We do not have a king. And we may have someone called president. And the president is the ruler of this particular land, but is he the king of your life? I sure pray not. The previous one wasn't. The one before that wasn't. And I guarantee you this, the next one to show up ain't going to be my king either. Be my president. I honor that, but there's only one king in my life, and that's God and Jesus Christ. And that's the new kingdom. And sometimes we have to wait until we are broken to be able to see it. As they're being carried off, this is one of these incredible prophecies that especially the southern kingdom probably had a hard time really. Sennacherib was there. They were about ready to lay siege. If you remember, this was that incredible prophecy that was then said that one angel. Do you want to know how crazy angels are? You're like, oh, they're fluffy and cute. One angel took out 185,000 Assyrian foot soldiers in one night. I am now, she looks like Roma Downey Jr. Do you want to be touched by an angel? The answer is no. Landed, thank you. I knew Rich was going to help you. Michael Landon. Or even John Travolta. Then they were like, oh, this is great. We can now go back to the way we were. They went back to the way they were, and God's like, hello? I'm still trying to get your attention. And so finally, in 522 BC, they had to be taken away. He talks about captivity. And what is so crazy is how have you no king? Has your counselor perished? Yeah, what pain is like, I hear from a man's point of view, it's about the pain of like a common cold. Is that right? And you know, I read this and I didn't even realize it because then I read a commentary and I totally had forgotten this. How many continuous drip epidurals did they get back in those days? Some of you went through it with zero. How would you have liked to go through? Now, I know some of you have your life. Women, you are, I don't understand you. You're incredible because you know for a fact that you are going, but you do it. Because at the end of it, what do you have? You got your baby. And that's why men have sympathy pains along with you. And no, we have zero pain with you. I am so sorry. You guys know what it's like. But it's this important concept that it's sometimes in our brokenness that we truly understand who God is. It's in our pain. When we lose our job or our 401k, broken, and we come to God thinking, "Me, what can he do with me? No one else wants me in this world. Why would he?" And we sometimes go through this brokenness, but I tell you this, on the other side of that brokenness is a joy that you will never understand until you do it. First one came out, and she's the guy, the anesthesiologist, showed up too late. And she's going through the throes of it. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is totally worse than a cold. And then she's grunting and screaming. And she never screamed at me. She was so nice. She was like, never, you did this to me. I hate you forever. She never did any of that. And then Mark Thomas came out. And they put her Bubba on my wife's chest. Do you know the first thing she said? You remember the first thing you said. I could do this tomorrow. Because out of that was life. Now, again, if you didn't have that experience, if you still cursed at each other, I don't know how it was for you guys. Hopefully it was good. But yeah, we often don't realize that we go through pain and struggling, but on the other side is joy. And let me tell you, if you're on the side of pain and struggling now, and everything is hurting and everything is bad, we still have the joy of looking forward to being in heaven forever. And so that's why he tells them, writhe in agony, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in labor. For now, you must hear, you will go to camp in the open field. Crazy prophecy right here. You will go to Babylon. There you'll be rescued. There the Lord will redeem you out of the hand of your enemies. Again, for them in 701 BC, this would make no sense. In 701 BC, the superpower was the Assyrian Empire. Babylon was just, it would be the equivalent of saying, Canada is going to invade us tomorrow. Canada, please. But that's what these people thought. They looked at Babylon, and Micah and others gave prophecies, you'll be carried off into Babylon. So he was given a heads up, there's another group coming. And so then when it's finally happening, as they're going through the pain and misery, as they're being marched away from their homes and being taken off into a foreign land, I wonder if these words rang in their ears. God told us about this. Is this the end of our lives? Is this the end of us as a nation? Is this the end of us as a person? And God is always telling them, no, because I'm going to draw you back out again. I'm going to take the brigade of... They're not... strong and powerful, but instead they're broken, and these are the people that I will draw back out. You will go to Babylon. There you will be rescued. There the Lord will redeem you out of the hands of your enemies. I want that to give you hope. Whatever you're facing here and now, whatever trauma you've had in the past that may be broke, God redeems broken people. That's a promise all throughout Scripture. And there will be a day of rescue and a day when there will be no more pain or mourning or crying because the old order of things has passed away. But you still have to live in this world, but now many nations are gathered against you. They say, let her be defiled. Let her eyes gloat over Zion. It seems like all the powerful people are winning. It seems like all the evil people are winning. Guess what? This is what he says. But they do not know the thoughts of the Lord. They do not understand his plan. He who gathers them like sheaves to the threshing floor, rods of bronze, and you will break to pieces many nations. And let me tell you, many nations have been broken. But through love and mercy and grace, the Lord of all the earth. God wants to take all of the brokenness that you have and everything that you've learned through that and all of those gains you are now able to. Some of you will just be really good shining examples of what does it mean to have grace in the midst of pain. Be able to say, I know how you feel and here's how you're going to get through it. So where you will say, God, I can't do any of this until I've got to rely on you, and your faith will grow incredibly, which will be something that will be used by God later. The one thing I ask for you, there's only one thing God asks of you. Don't stand there comparing yourself to everyone else, thinking that all the strong people are going to be picked and God will just accept. Esther and David and Paul had in to be used by God. So don't be afraid to stand up in the middle of your brokenness. Say, God, I'm hurting, willing to be used by you for your glory. We pray. Father, what a challenge it is. In fact, most broken people are just simply tossed aside. They're discarded. They really serve no function except as a cautionary tale to be avoided. We look at the weak and we often throw them in nursing homes. We look at little children and we say, well, what good are they? But Lord, you have called us to be a brigade of brokenness that is to be used by you. So we pray that as we come to you, we would know that you love broken people. And Lord, what a coincidence, because I am broken, and so are all these people. Thank you for giving us hope that there will come a day when we will never have to worry about this again, and you will bring us into perfection. That line, because we know for a fact, you will choose us. And thank you for choosing us for your purpose today. In Jesus' name.